may be seated.
What a beautiful presence of God is here tonight. Isn't it wonderful to come in on a Wednesday night and just sense and feel the presence of God? This is a rare treat and a blessing. It may be common occurrence here in Wisconsin, but I'm lucky if I get those young professionals in San Francisco to even visit me on a Wednesday night. And we do have a good group that comes, but this is rare. This is wonderful. The presence of God is in his house. And I thank him for that. And I truly thank him for that. God is so good to all of us. Is that supposed to be there like that? Something is taking off. Beam me up, Scotty. My wife had a procedure done on her foot on Tuesday morning. She had the same procedure done in January, and we flew back here to, flew into Chicago and then went over to Chesterton, Indiana, where this podiatrist does this certain procedure that very, very few podiatrists in the whole United States perform. And so he did the procedure in January, and it was successful, but after 2.5 months after the procedure, my wife thought she was well, so she got on her treadmill, and she began to beat her feet for an hour on her treadmill. Well, she re-injured her both feet even worse than what they were before she had the procedure done in January. So she has been limping for months, but limping does not stop nanny bones. Limping does not stop my wife. She continues to push. In fact, we had at home, we had July was our family month, and we have what we call before our Wednesday night service St. Jean's Supper, and my wife will prepare her famous recipes, and she feeds 150 people before we start the midweek service. That's hard to do when you're limping. She does it, but she always suffers because of that. So this last month, she did all of her delectable delights, homemade meatballs, spaghetti, homemade meatballs, special recipe from our friend who is a Italian from New York, Brother Davis's church. And so she made meatballs, and then one service she did her famous apple pies, and she's amazing. So she wanted to be here. She wanted me to tell this church and the Schumachers that she would love to be here, but her feet at this point will not allow her to be here. She had the procedure. It was successful, but got to try to slow her down just a little bit. And God has been good to us in the San Francisco Bay Area. We've had a great, great year. God has done some amazing things for us. And I just love the work of God. I feel sorry for preachers, pastors who don't love what they do. I love what I do. I love touching people. I love to minister. I love to teach life studies. I love it. 3 weeks ago, we had a beautiful Indian lady attend our services. She just landed a job at Apple. And she came into the service and just, she loved the service. After the service, she said, I want to be baptized. Next Sunday is my physical birthday, and I want to get baptized next Sunday. I said, well, yeah, we'll do that, but I have to teach you a life study about baptism. She said, good. She said, you know, I work 6 days a week, and I'm putting in 10 to 12 hours a day. I said, well, can you get a little time off Wednesday night before our midweek service and just come, and I'll teach you a life study, and you can eat St. Jean's Supper, and then we'll baptize you next Sunday. She did. We baptized her, and it was so amazing, brand new, just brand new, and God impressed upon her that our church was the church that she needed to be in. How'd you find us? She said, have you heard of something called Google? I just Googled you. So I'm glad she Googled me. And she's been in every Sunday service and now seeking for the Holy Ghost. And it's just beautiful to see what God wants to do in this end time hour. Isn't it great to know that God's doing things in this end time hour? And then the following Wednesday night, we had this vet from the VA program in Palo Alto, one of the largest veterans programs, hospitals in California. And he wanted to be baptized. In fact, the Sunday that I baptized this beautiful lady, Julie, he said, I want to get baptized. And I said, well, come next Wednesday night, and I'll teach you a life study. And he said, great. I said, we'll do it afterwards, after the lesson, before the service. Yeah, cool. But we're going to eat first. He said, oh, yeah, naturally, got to eat first. And then we'll baptize you. So he came, but he brought 8 of his friends from the VA program with him, including the chaplain for the VA program. So I taught all 8 of them a lesson on Jesus' name baptism. I love this message. I believe this message. Don't you believe this great message? And so we taught them, and the chaplain said, wow, this is good stuff, huh? I said, yeah, it's good. Called the Bible. It's good stuff, you know. So we love what we do, and you love what you guys do here, and we compliment you. We really do. Brother and Sister Schumacher are amazing, amazing, amazing people. And I love them very much because they have been friends. Papa George Glass said it many years ago when I was a young evangelist. He was pastoring then in DeRidder, Louisiana, and Papa George Glass said, son, you'll have very few close friends. He said, you'll be able to count your true friends on one hand without the use of your thumb. You say, well, I've got a lot of friends. You have a lot of acquaintances. But you probably have very few life friends. This couple sitting on the front row are life friends. And we love them. And we honor them for all that they're doing here and for what they're yet to do. We do not want them to retire. Shall we have a business meeting real quick and just vote that they just, you know, say you can't retire for the until the next 20 years? Everyone in favor? Aye. Passed. Put it in the minutes. Put it in the minutes. Although they have an amazing son-in-law, great guy sitting on the front row. What a man! What a great man of God. Wonderful guy, loves the work of God, very strong. In fact, he visited us, when was that, a couple, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, 4 months ago, whatever, and he came out and visited us, and I was gone. It seemed like that's always the way it works, but we're really glad to be here, thankful for this church family. I like how you guys do this prayer before service. I like that feel, how you're standing up front, worshiping, praying. That's really good. Don't stop doing that. Shall we vote on that too? Keep that up. That's such a very, very good practice. And I know your Saturday prayer meetings, I wish I could be around. I've got to fly back Saturday morning and get back home to take care of services next Sunday, this coming Sunday. But if I could be here, if I was here, I'd be at that 8 o'clock prayer meeting on Saturday morning. Because the same spirit, the same atmosphere, the same presence of faith is here in that Saturday morning prayer meeting as well. So God is good. He is great. And there's none like him. I have a 2-hour lesson, so I better get started. Would you stand with me, please? If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, I'm going to direct your attention to Acts chapter 27. Let's pick up Acts chapter 27. Let's pick up with verse number, let's start with number 21. Acts 27, 21. Since none of us had eaten anything, and I'm reading from the CEV UK. I love this translation. I know everybody, and I love King James. That's my translation, but this year I've been reading from the CEV UK, which is a British translation, and I really love it. So if I crossed anybody's, you know, line of theology here, forgive me. I'm a visitor, and you know, I'm from San Francisco. That was a joke, okay? But I am from San Francisco. But anyway, so this is the translation I'm going to read from. So I apologize if I've offended anyone here, but I love how this is worded. So I'm reading from the CEV UK. Acts 27, starting with verse 21. Since none of us had eaten anything for a long time, Paul stood up and told the men, "You should have listened to me. If you had stayed on in Crete, you would not have had this damage and loss. Now I beg you to cheer up, because you will be safe. Only the ship will be lost." Very important that you notice that. Only the ship will be lost. I belong to God and I worship him. Last night, he sent an angel to tell me, "Paul, don't be afraid. You will stand trial before the emperor, and because of you, God will save the lives of everyone on this ship." Very important. The ship is going to be lost, but every life in the ship will be saved. It will not be lost. Paul said, "Don't be afraid. You will stand trial before the emperor, and because of you, God will save the lives of everyone on the ship. So cheer up. I am sure that God will do exactly what he promised, but we will first be shipwrecked on some island." I want to talk to you for a little while tonight about shipwrecks and snake bites are always divine rendezvous. Snake bites and shipwrecks are divine rendezvous or divine delays. Extend a hand towards me, please. Pray anointing upon me. I pray in Jesus' name. God, I lift my spirit to you. Anoint me, Lord. Anoint me, God. Let me minister your word to these, your precious people who have come tonight hungry to hear from your word. Let me minister, God, with fervency, with anointing, and with effect, and let a life be transformed and changed and touched. I'm praying for a miracle to be done through the preaching of your word. Inspire faith, set free, deliver, God. I pray that you'll do a great work through the preaching and the ministry of your word. I ask these favors in your name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Shipwrecks are scary. Snake bites are painful. But in my life, I am truly grateful for every shipwreck and every snake bite. Why? Why am I thankful for snake bites and shipwrecks? Because it's shipwrecks and snake bites that make us who we are. They are the stories that we will tell our grandkids about shipwrecks, snake bites. How did Paul end up in Malta? How did Paul, this great man of God, how did he end up in Malta? Your pastor alluded to this conference that he and I ministered in there in Malta. And what was so unique about that experience was the fact that we actually saw the beach that the Apostle Paul came swimming up to. We actually saw the beach where Paul had a snake bite. And they said that you could, at the time that this happened, that you could see the shipwreck as the ship was going down out in the water. You could actually see it from this rendezvous point that we were standing on. Malta is a beautiful island. But Malta was not in the plans of Paul. Paul did not set out to go to Malta. It wasn't in his ministerial itinerary. It wasn't in his missions statement that he's going to go to Malta. He's going to Malta because of the wind factor. It wasn't premeditated. It wasn't something that he had thought out. It wasn't the navigational skills of the sailors. It definitely was not because of the crew's sailing ability that they landed on Malta. They landed on Malta because of something that was totally out of their control. We have no control freaks here at this church, right? Huh? Can I tell you that control freaks don't really do good in the Church of the Living God? Because usually control freaks like to try to control their environment. Can I give you just a little bit of pastoral advice all the way from the San Francisco Bay Area? Do not be a control freak. Do not be anal. Don't try to always have your way. Paul landed on Malta not because he was a control freak. He landed on the island of Malta because of something that was totally, completely out of his control. He had no control over it. It was called the wind factor. Paul had already told this crew and the other prisoners and the sailors, he told everyone on that ship that God spoke to him, that he was a man of God, he worshiped the true God, and just don't worry, he told them to cheer up. They hadn't eaten for 14 days. After we read this passage of Scripture, Paul tells these guys, go ahead and eat, because you're going to need your strength for what's getting ready to happen. Aren't you glad that God still speaks to men of God who are shepherds and ministers of the Word and ministers of God's people? Aren't you glad that God still ministers, still talks to ministers, still leads and guides ministers? Paul gave them a heads up. Guys, the ship is not going to survive. This last Sunday, I preached this very self-same message at my son-in-law's. It was Chadwick and Heidi King's 10-year anniversary. And I thought it was a high honor that they wanted the old daddy to come and speak. And we did. We had a wonderful time. Chad's church has just mushroomed and grown. He's teaching life studies like a maniac. He's working the thing. He's got the thing running like a Swiss clock.